You know what I want to say before I get started? You guys, is seriously, there's probably nothing, there's probably, what, 10 or so leaders in this room that are trying to pour their lives into you. There's probably nothing that we haven't done between the 10 of us that you guys will ever experience. If you're like worried about something, scared about something, involved in something that you shouldn't be, want to get out of it, whatever, I kid you not, there's one of us that's done it. As I was preparing this testimony, I could go into a lot of other stuff that's happened to me, you know, but I only have 20 minutes, so I had to narrow it down to just the mom part. But I want to pray with you guys real quick, but just listen today, because there's really nothing that one of us has not been through that you guys aren't going to experience at some point in your life. And we're here for you after you graduate, too. Okay? Father God, I just thank you for this time that we have together. I pray, God, that the words that I'm going to say will be yours. Lord, that if there's anything that you want me to cut out or add to, that you will do that while I'm speaking, God. And I want you to know, Lord, that I'm sorry for all of the stuff that I've done. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to use me. Guide me in these next few minutes, Lord. And I pray that maybe my story will teach someone something about their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my story starts out with an adoption, actually. I'm an adopted child. My parents couldn't have kids, and so they wanted a child or two desperately, so they applied, and I was adopted when I was 2 months old. So I did find out who my birth mother was, just about 10 years ago or so, and I'm kind of glad she didn't raise me. She could have aborted me. That would have been a choice of hers, but excuse me, I'm grateful that she didn't. Otherwise, there would be no one speaking here today. I led a pretty normal life. We didn't have a whole lot of money. We moved a few times. But the thing I'm the most grateful for, and I wasn't at the time, was my mom's faithfulness to God. She told me all the time that I needed Christ in my life, but I had no clue as to why she was saying that. And one day I did listen to her, but I did it really just to make her happy. And so I didn't know what I had done or what was going to happen next or what I should do with that. I so wish that I had a youth group like this back then to help me through that. So I always thought my mom was kind of old-fashioned and pretty strict, at least to me, not to my brother. My brother was like the golden child, okay? He was 3 years younger than me, and my dad and I always used to tease her about how, like, in the morning, she would go and wake him up, and he would get the, oh, honey, good morning, you know, wake up, honey, you know. She'd go and make him breakfast, like a four-course meal for breakfast, usually consisting of peanut butter and jelly toast cut into four squares. I know, and you know what I got? You know, the alarm went off. Michelle, it's time to get up. So we used to tease her about that all the time, my dad and I. And he was in junior high then. Isn't that weird? Just kidding. All right, so I suppose I was around 12, I guess, we were told my mom had cancer. And I didn't really know what that meant at that time. I mean, at 12, you think, you know, the worst problem in your life is not having friends at school, that kind of thing. So she went through treatments, radiation, surgery, a number of other things. We were told that the cancer was gone. Then a few months later, though, we found out that it was all over her body. It was in her lymph nodes. So she was there for my 16th birthday, my first job, my first car, and my first traffic ticket. She was even healthy enough to be at my high school graduation and even planned a party for me. Up to this point, she was working in between the treatments. She wore a wig, but she had the best attitude. In her mind, she served a great God and one that was going to heal her. I never heard her complain. I never heard her cry about it. Now, she may have to my dad, but I never heard it. She believed to the very end that God was going to heal her and that she would be fine. And she loved Jesus. But the sicker she got and the more she prayed for healing, the further away I got, because I was like, forget it. So by my second year in college, she was so weak, she couldn't lie flat anymore, so we had to get whole bunch of hospital equipment and things like that. And between classes, I would come home and I would take care of her. Then I would go to work in the late afternoon, and my dad would get home a few hours after that, and then he'd take care of her. I bet you're wondering where my brother helped. He didn't. He was young, and he was scared, and he's still running. So maybe, you know, after I get done, I can tell you a little bit about him, but I'm still praying for him to accept Christ as his Savior. So then I would get home late at night, and we would kind of take turns doing laundry and cleaning up the house and taking care of her, whatever she needed. So as she neared the end of her life, she sat my brother and I and my dad around the table, and she wanted to talk to us about her desires for our life after she left. She wanted us to stick together as a family, and we promised that we would. She wanted us to see me graduate college, and I promised that I would. She said she wished that she could see me get married. She wanted to hold her grandchildren. She wanted to see my brother graduate. That didn't happen. But we again promised. And a few months later, surrounded by her brother and her sister, and myself and my dad, she died. And I remember that day, it's like it was yesterday. Mother's Day is kind of hard for me. I'm thrilled to be a mom. I'm grateful for Marissa. But at the same time, it's hard for me because I look back at days like that. And she's been gone since 1986, so that's a long time. But I remember her just could hardly breathe. She was on oxygen, that kind of thing. And my family had come to visit. And I left to take a phone call from a boy. They're the first of all of our problems. I went to take a phone call, and I left for just a minute. And I came back, and they were crying, and my dad was taking the oxygen tube off of her face, and I was screaming at him to put it back. And I kind of just ran out of the house, and I just said, "That's it. God, whoever you are, I'm never, ever going to follow you. Not like her." I'll just never forget that. So while now, as I look back, I see that it's God's time. It was God's time. I cursed God at that time. I thought, why would I believe, worship, or trust a God who takes the best people instead of the worst? I mean, we hear all the time about murderers and people that go free and things like that. But I thought, what the heck? You know, my mom was like the best Christian I knew. And he took her. So I thought, why would I follow him? Not for the life of me could I understand why he would do that. So I rebelled horribly, which is a story for another day. And I decided I was just never going to trust that God of hers. And all I can say now, looking back, is that it was just a lot of wasted time. So shortly thereafter, my mom passed away. My dad moved. He went back to take care of his mother in Youngstown. And I needed to work more to afford an apartment so I could stay here. So I quit college, and so that's two promises broken, and my brother never finished high school, so three. So all I could think of was all the broken promises to her that we'd made. And so like I told you before, I had told God when I was little that I wanted Christ in my heart, but I only did it for her. And I broke that promise too, because when we accept Christ as our Savior, that's a promise from God to us, and a promise that we're going to follow him. And I broke that too. And it was an easy thing to do because I didn't really know what I had done anyway. I didn't know what to do next. There was no discipleship program like we have here. There was nobody to turn to, nobody to ask questions about. And my dad wasn't really a follower at that time either. Praise the Lord, though, he is now. So what was I supposed to do with a God who cared so little about me that he left me alone here? So fast forward to some years later when I meet Lair Bear, as you guys affectionately call him. And Marissa comes along, and I'm now wondering what in the world life is about. Getting up every morning, going to work, taking her to daycare, coming home, making dinner, cleaning the house, doing laundry, and turning it around and starting it all over again. I thought, this there's just got to be something more to life than this. And it hits me. All the things that my mom told me at that table, that God has a plan. Can I have Jeremiah 29:11 up? God has a plan, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And that was one of the promises that God made to me when I accepted Christ as my Savior. but I didn't take him up on that. I told him he was stupid and he made the wrong choice, that like he made a mistake, you know, and I just said, that's it, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So, and at this point, you know, I did have Larry and I had Marissa, and that should have been enough for me, but it's not. If we don't have what God set us up to be, I mean, you see people that have all the money and all the fame and all the wealth in the world, and they're married and they're not happy. And it's because a lot of times because they don't have a relationship with Christ. So what I was missing was my relationship with God. And it was a realization that his death on the cross for me was the ultimate gift of love, and that if God could let go of Christ, what was my problem with letting go of my mother? So I want you to look at the next verses I have to put up, Jeremiah 29:12 to 14a. I know I'm being pretty specific here, but that's the part that came next for me. There was that promise, and then you will call upon me, and I will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. And that captivity was my sin, all the things that I've done because I was so mad at him, which was a lot. Again, talk for another time, but so I really did that time ask Christ to forgive me, to save me, to allow the Holy Spirit to take up residence in my life. And I know that I'm forgiven for all that wasted time, but now also for the daily mistakes that I make now, both knowingly and unknowingly, because I sin every day, you guys. That's the whole point of this thing, this life. It's not about how much stuff we have when we die or how many cool things we got to do. It's about how much we love Jesus. So I had my own table conversation with Marissa soon after that, when she could understand what I was talking about. And I want to take the last few minutes that I have with you guys to kind of go over that conversation that I had with her. Could you just for a minute, though, just appease me for a moment and just pretend like this is the last conversation that you and I will ever have? Okay? I told Marissa not to be like me. At least not the me that I was when she was born. I told her that our days here on this earth are numbered, and that she's not guaranteed another breath, another morning, and nor am I. And that if God takes me, not to be mad and not to waste time, because it was my time to go, and that I would be happy when he did. Have you guys ever lost any friends, family members unexpectedly? Maybe somebody in your high school? I mean, you guys just hear about that Highland High School brother and sister that just got killed. They were just leaving to go to school, as innocent as any other day. That's how quickly it can happen. And I wanted her to be ready, and I didn't want her to waste the, tons of years that I wasted. So the Bible says in Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And that takes a wise person to really think about that. To not wake up in the morning and just go, okay, I'm going to do whatever I want to do today. To give that day to the Lord, and to try and be the best person that you can be for him, not for us. So his word also says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And that ends up being now one of my most favorite verses, because everything that happens to us has a reason. There's nothing that takes it that's by chance or that takes him by surprise. And he didn't take my mom. He brought her home to him. There's a big difference. Everything in his plan works out for our spiritual good. So I, again, told Marissa, I was pretty much crying by that time, but I also told Marissa that if trouble comes into her life, or if I do die, obviously I'm going to die before her, or I should if life is fair at all, but you know, I said, if I, you know, when I go, if you're young and you don't understand it, just rely on him and not reject him like I did. Don't waste a second being angry with God. Unlike what I thought, and I thought he was being mean and cruel and unfair, and that he was letting her die with a body racked with pain and leaving me here alone, and that's what I thought. But he did exactly what she had prayed for. God healed her. Wasn't here on this earth, it was in heaven, because Revelation 21:4, which is my proof of that, it tells us exactly what happens when we go to heaven. Can you guys read this with me? He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That's God telling us what's going to happen in heaven. And again, angry, you know, bitter about the whole thing. Now I can see why it happened the way it happened. Don't be angry with God when I go, I told her. But be happy for me because it's my time. And don't be angry about things that happen to you in your life. There's a reason for every hurt that you will experience. So just for one more second, if you guys could just listen to me one more second. Each circumstance that you're given is what builds your character. Those circumstances shape who you are. And the choices that you make in those circumstances are the ones that show where your faith lies. And trust me, other people are watching that. I'm ashamed to know, I don't even want to know, the number of people that I probably turned away from God because I was angry. So the choices that we make in those circumstances that happen to us, they show people where our faith lies. And it also determines how long it's going to take God to get us where he's really going to take us. And trust me, he's going to take you where he has planned, whether you go kicking and screaming or whether you go willingly. So go willingly because it's a lot easier. So don't waste a moment of the time he's given you. If you haven't made a decision for him, it's time. It's time right now because, again, like those Highland Heights kids, it could be right when we pull out of this parking lot today. We don't know. If you have made one before but you still don't understand it like I did, please see one of us in leadership. Don't waste any more time.